podcast. Holy Spirit, have your way. I'm just a voice. I'm just a vessel. I can't take no credit for nothing. I ain't choose this. God chose me. What, to come on this broadcast, man, and to do what, man? Exalt you. Build you up. Strengthen you, man. Let you know, man, that your God loved you so much, man, he looked past your faults and mistakes and saw your need. And what would that need, man? To continue loving you, man, in the midst of all your rebellion and everything else, man. Why? Because he already set the destination for your life. And, boy, the destination he set for your life is a great destination. And he set that destination for your life, man, based upon this, man, because of this, man, that he loved you. Hallelujah. And I'm totally persuaded that nothing can separate us, man, from the love of God. You think what the devil did and what Adam and Eve, man, fell from and did and caused to come upon the whole human race, man, can separate us from the love of God that God has for us? No. So in Genesis chapter 3, man, when the devil deceived them, man, and got them off the mark, then, man, Adam and them, when they started the race, he tripped them. And they fell, if I can say it that way. And when they fell, man, you know, ever since then, man, they've been trying to get back, man, find a way back into the Garden of Eden. They start coming up with their own ways, their own ideas. That's where religion and all the different religion come from. We got to provide salvation for ourselves. We got to make a name for ourselves. We got to build us a city with a tower in it, man, that can reach up to the heaven, man, and we will make a name for ourselves. In other words, we will provide salvation for ourselves. We will come up with our means of salvation for ourselves. In a religious order, we'll have us a deity too. We're gonna appease this deity. Why? Because, man, we're trying to get back into what we lost. What they lost? They lost their sovereignty. They lost their sovereign reign. They lost their kingship. They lost their kingdom. They lost their authority. That the dominion that God gave Adam and Eve in the garden, man, when the devil deceived them, man, and the assignment that God gave them to do to make it the whole earth like it is in heaven, that assignment that God gave them and that dominion that he gave them to do it with, that authority and power that he gave them to do it with, when Adam and Eve, man, rebelled against God, they gave that dominion that God gave them over into the hands of Lucifer, a wicked angel, the devil. And instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, the devil took over the reign and set up, man, his kingdom upon the earth. That's the world that you live in. That's the arrangement and the pattern of operation that we were born in and shaped in and live in. It's not the original plan of God, man. It ain't on earth as it is in heaven. That's his plan. And I'm going to say this again. I don't care what it looked like, what it seemed like, what it is, man, what it appeared like, man. His counsel going to stand. He said, man, let them have dominion over the earth, man, and let them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the whole earth. And he blessed us with the ability to do it, man, and it's going to get done. It don't matter if it takes God a trillion, zillion, billion, billion years, man. He live in eternity. Time ain't nothing. If it's a zillion, billion, trillion, zillion years, that's just a in eternity. What you saying, Arthur, man? His counsel going to stand. That's why he want us to come behind the veil, man, and hear the kingdom ministry of God. Hear what God is saying to you himself. The Bible say, man, in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heaven and earth. In 1 John chapter 1, it say, in the beginning was the Word. I'm going to take you a little bit further to a greater revelation. In 1 John, this is what it says. That which was from the beginning. We know a lot about in the beginning when God created the heaven and the earth, and in the beginning was the Word. We got that down pat, but I don't think we received the revelation that he showed John. What's the revelation that he showed John? He said, I'm going to take you, man, past, man, you know what happened, man, when I created the human race. I'm going to take you all the way back to what I said, man, even, good God Almighty. John said, that which was from the beginning. Hallelujah. We have seen and our hands have handled and touched of the word of life. That's what we declare unto you. So that you too may have fellowship, not religion, fellowship, man, with us. And of a truth, our fellowship is with the Most High God and with his Son and with the rest of the family of God. But that we might have fellowship. And we don't want to say, and in him ain't no darkness at all. Oh, Lord. Well, you say, I'm going to tell you that which was man from the beginning. I'm not going to tell you all the story that, or just tell you all the story that happened, man, after the beginning. I'm going to tell you what God decreed and declared, man, before he even began the beginning. I told you, man, one writer, man, got the revelation of it, man. I think it's in Ephesians. He said this here. Thanks be unto God who chose us before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame, unreprovable in his sight. Hello. When he chose that, before the foundations of the world, before there was an it or a there, a when or a where, before he created everything, he already decided, man, what his plan and purpose was for your life in eternity, man, past. He already decided what he wanted with you and everything else, man. He finished, man. Once he decided what he wanted, then he started speaking. When he spoke, he already had decided what he wanted. And, man, he spoke, man, what he wanted. And what he wanted came from, man, who he spoke to. Let me throw a nugget out there for you. When God was creating the heaven and the earth, he was speaking. And he was speaking what he wanted to what he wanted it made from. And what he wanted came from what he wanted it made from, exactly what he said. Let me say that again. When God was creating things, this is the principle of creation. He spoke what he wanted. He didn't spoke what was, he spoke what he wanted. The earth was void and without shape, and God wanted man light. So God said, let there be light. He didn't speak what was. And then when he created the trees, he said, let the earth bring forth, you know, the living, the trees. And then he said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures. You know, when he wanted the animals and the plants and everything else, what he spoke to the earth. And from the earth, man came in what he said. Amen. When he wanted you, he spoke to himself. He said, let us.
Holy Ghost, help the people on the sea.
He spoke to himself. And from himself came you, a little offspring of God. That's why you call a child of God, an offspring of God. You come from him. You his little child. You his little baby. He spoke to himself and when he wanted you. And from him came you. Know why you a masterpiece? Because you a piece of the master. Glory be to God. You come from God. You come from God Incorporated, man. You created by him. You made by him. And the essence and the material that he used to make you with is the same essence and material that he consists of. That's why he say, let us make him in our image and our likeness. That's what he chose before the foundation of the world, man. He already decided what he wanted. Then he spoke. And then when he spoke, man, what he wanted came from. Who he spoke to, exactly what he wanted. So when he spoke to himself, man, came from himself exactly what he wanted. What? A little bitty baby, almighty God, a little bitty spiritual baby, a little bitty offspring of God, created in his image, created in his father's image, and created in his likeness. Then he came down to the earth and made a body for you. For you, who? That little spirit man, the real you. That's created in the image and likeness of God. And then he released you in that body. The Bible says, and he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became, man, a living soul. What God doing, man? Setting up the stage, man, for what his counsel already is. What his counsel already is, man, he already decided, man, what he wanted and what the deal is for your life, and he finished. That's why the Bible says, that remains a rest for my people. Why, you know, where they cease from their works, and they get in on, man, my works. And when they get in on my works, man, then, man, they'll cease from their works, man, and they'll just, man, start becoming who they already are. The works, that don't mean they don't work. That means that their work is different. Same way in the battle. If we're not careful, man, a lot of us out here fighting the battles of the Lord and spiritual warfare and everything else, we're fighting it wrong. You're fighting it like, man, you're trying to get the victory. That ain't
help us, Lord.
Listen, when they fighting in a victory and everything else, and they fighting a war and everything else, then when they win, then they send, man, you know, the battle is over with. It's finished. They won. And then when the troops come on home, then they send some other troops back in there or leave some of them in there and to do what? It's still going on. Still a little war going on. But what they ain't fighting, man, to get the victory. They owe that man to enforce a victory that has already been won. They over there to carry out, man, and make sure that the victory that has been won continue to be carried out, man, until the people are strong enough and able enough, man, to stand, man, on their own. Still a battle. They still got them guns and walking and doing everything else. But, man, it's a different strategy of war, a different type of war. We're not careful. You'll be fighting, man, trying to get the victory, man. The victory already been won. The battle we got to fight, man, is the good fight of faith. Glory to God. The good fight of faith. Why is it called a good fight of faith? Because in this fight here, man, you're not fighting to get the victory. You're fighting, man, to enforce a victory that has already been won. We sing all the songs, the victory belongs to you, Jesus. The battle is the Lord. Let the Lord fight your battle and everything. I mean, he already fought your battle. It's time for you to stand up and I to stand up, man, and start enforcing this victory, man, that has already been won for us. How can we do that, Arthur? You can't do that, man, at the gate. You can't do that, man, at the course of praise. You can't do that even in the sanctuary. You can't do that through religion. You got to come behind the veil, man. You got to come back into God's original plan and purpose for your life. And the only way you can come back into God's original plan and purpose for your life, you got to get past what the preacher's saying. You got to find out, man, what God said. That's why I bring to you the kingdom ministry of God to your life. Not my opinion, man. Not what I think. None of that, man. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I don't have no opinion, man. All I give you on this broadcast, man, is what the king says. Amen. You can receive it. You can reject it. Because one thing he did, when he breathed into man's nostrils, the breath of life, man became a free moral agent, man, with own will, own decision, and everything else. He ain't going to force it on you, boy. He's going to lay it before you. It's up to you, man, to receive it or to reject it. And one thing about the gospel of the kingdom, man, let me tell you something. It's the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. And baby, when it's ministered and everything else and it's sent for, boy, it might be 1,000 words coming at you, but it's just like that seed of a man, boy, going at all them different eggs, boy, but it just want to hit the egg. One day, boy, it'll take conception on the inside of you. That word will hit your spirit, man, and your spirit, man, will come alive. Your spirit, man, will hear something and say, hold up, wait a minute. It's on the inside of us, man, but it's dead and trespassing and sin. Hallelujah. So God had to deal with us, man, in a way in time past, man, from a perhaps a religious standpoint. Why? Because our sins had separated us from him. Boy, he did something about that. The plan and purpose that he set for your life and what the devil did in Genesis chapter 3, man, then God started something, man, in Genesis chapter 3. Everything from Genesis chapter 3 in the word of God all the way to the end is a means to one end. What? To get back what God had in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. What was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2? Unbroken fellowship. God's kingdom was set up on the earth. There wasn't no other kingdom on the earth. It was just God's kingdom, what God had planned and purpose for mankind's life. That's why he said, I know the plans that I have for you. That was what was going on up on the earth. And man, you know, and what was that? That was the kingdom of God. What God was doing and God's plan and God's purpose for mankind's life. That he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through the end of that chapter. And everything that he started doing after the fall of mankind from Genesis, all the stories, all of the prophecies, everything is a means to one end. And that end is to get you and I back into what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. What was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2? Unbroken fellowship. You and I, man, are fellowshipping with our Father in heaven. Man. Unbroken fellowship. No sin. Cleansed. Well, if you could ever get a revelation of that. You know why we struggle with living holy and living right? Because we're struggling from the wrong aspect. We're trying to do it from the wrong aspects, perhaps. You're trying to, man, live right, man, to be holy. You ought to be holy, man, and live right. I'm going to say it again. We're trying to live right so that we can be holy. No. You need to be holy so that you can live right. You need to be who you already are. You're already holy. You're already washed in the blood of the Lamb. And all the way when God started doing this process of what he's doing, man, from Genesis chapter 3 through the end of the Bible to get you and I back into his kingdom, his way of doing things, what he's doing, man, the Bible says in the fullness of time, when the setting was right. When everything was in order, man, God, the Bible said, God sent forth his son, made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without, tempted on all points, just like us, yet without sin. What was God doing? God was sending man that promise, that he promised that devil man when he pronounced the curse upon his life in Genesis chapter 3. He said, the seed of a woman, the same woman who you deceived, glory to God, through that same woman, and every woman, man, come through that woman, from that woman and her husband. And you say, that same woman that you deceived, man, one of her descendants, man, gonna take that authority. You're gonna bruise his heel, but he gonna bruise your heel. What heel? You're gonna bruise their walk. You're gonna hinder them. You're gonna have them living up under your puppet strength control for a while, but it's coming, man. Why? Because they didn't turn the dominion that I gave them over into you. And you're gonna bruise their walk. Instead of them walking like I walk and talk like I talk and live like I live and be like me, they're gonna start walking, man, according to your dictates. But that same woman, man, who you deceived and is going to bruise the heel of mankind and bruise their walk and their relationship with me, that same woman going to bring forth the seed, man, and that seed going to bruise your head. What head is? Head is authority. You're going to take back the authority that you stole from mankind, man, in the garden. And not only are they going to take it back, man, but they're going to help me, man, what? Not only take back the authority, but destroy you, your demon co-host, and all your works up on the earth. And when it's all said and done, man, yeah, not only, man, you know, the whole earth is going to be rid of all open rebellion, but you, your fallen angels, and everything that you stand for, man, going to be cast into the lake of fire. And, man, there ain't going to be nothing left here on this earth, man, but me and my kingdom, not this earth. I'm going to ball this one here up, man, and cast it away. And I'm, behold, I'll create a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth. And they're going to be on earth just like I said, man, in the beginning. There ain't nothing that a devil and a demon and nothing, no virus, no catastrophe, no calamities, no pestilence, nothing that come up on the earth, boy, can alter, man, what God done already spoke, man. And boy, when you get in on what he doing, glory to God. Instead of coming up with our ways of doing things and what we think and our opinion, and then try to get him in on that, and those ways can be good things. I told you, man, that tree that they ate off, man, wasn't just a tree of evil. Good and evil. This world, man, got good in it, too. A lot of good in it. Just enough good to cover up the evil. That'll deceive you. And what the devil does to keep us in the world system from making a translation is to preoccupy us with the good. But we never see the evil that's behind it. What's the evil that's behind it, man? Hey, let me tell you something, man. This world going to end in destruction. Why? Because the God of this world, what you mean this world? This system, this pattern of operation, this arrangement, the way things are up on the earth as we know it, man, the God of this world system is the devil. Glory to God. And he kind of got this world system kind of like on a puppet string control. He operating, man, from the unseen realm. We're talking about coronavirus and unseen. You need to know, man, who your enemy really is, man. You can't see him. He operating from the unseen realm, man. Glory to God. And he got, man, the human race, man, kind of like on the puppet string control, man. All he got to do is dangle a circumstance, a situation, or a symptom, man, and he make you act any kind of way he wants you to act. Why? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Because he's the God of this world system that we live in. But in the fullness of time, that seed that God told man, promised that devil that was going to come, man, and all them prophecies that he prophesied, man, in the old covenant, man, but there was coming one, a Messiah, man, that was going to reestablish the kingdom and was going to set up on the throne of the father David, and that was going to reign forever and ever, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Over 2,000 years ago, man, the fulfillment of that promise, man, was made. And, man, here came Jesus, man. This came Jesus, man. Made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin. What was God doing? God was fulfilling, man, his promise. He asked you to save yourself. Let me tell you something. If God got a family and God lose his family, man, it's not God's family responsibility to come looking for him. It's God come looking for us. It's God, man. It's God sent his only begotten son, man, down here to redeem our lives from destruction. It was God, man, come save us. There ain't nothing you can do to save yourself. Your righteousness is like filthy rag. You ain't that living right, try to save yourself. You got to live right, man, because you are saved and you are the righteousness of God and you are holy. You ought to just be who you are. If you're trying to be that white man to get in right standing with God, man, then you missed the mark. You ought to be that way because you already are in right standing with God. That ought to be your motivation, man, for living holy and living right, man. Why, man? Because you love your God. And why you love your God like that? Because your Father first loved you, and he showed his love for you that even while you were yet in your, Jesus didn't wait till you got everything together before he saved you. He said he doesn't die for us even while we was yet in our sin. What was going on? That was God fulfilling his promise. That was God taking back the authority, man, that Adam gave to the devil, man, through a man called Jesus, man, and gave it back, man, to who it belonged to, who? The whole human race. The Bible says after Jesus rose from the dead, he stood on the bowels of the universe and said, now all power has been given unto me. In earth, power in heaven, power on earth, and even power under the earth. What do you say? I got even power, man, over the grave, over death, man, over mankind's greatest enemy, man. He said, destroy this temple, and God, I raise it back up, man. I got authority, man. What? The same authority that God gave Adam and Eve in the beginning, the same, man, sovereign and dominion that Adam had, that they lost, man, and turned over to the devil. I came to take that back from the devil and not only redeem your life from destruction, but to restore back to you everything that you lost. What you lost, man? You lost your kingship. You lost your sovereignty. You lost your ability, man, to have sovereign reign, man, in your life. You didn't lose your priesthood. You didn't. Adam and Eve didn't lose their relationship with God. God still related with them. Even though he had to build them a place where he could tabernacle with them, man, he could no longer live in them and no longer could be in the Garden of Eden with them and no longer could be in there, but he ain't never left them. He ain't never forsook them. He was always with his children, glory to God. He just couldn't be with a man the way he originally desired, man, them in him and him in them, one. But he always, man, hung out around them. Amen. He told a man to build me a place, and they built a tabernacle and everything else. And behind that place, man, where that they built, man, was a place called the Holies of Holies. They couldn't go back there. They could only come through the gates and through the courts and in the holy place, man. The only one that could go behind the veil in the presence of the Lord was the high priest. And he could do that just once a year to make the atonements and the sacrifices for the sins of God's people, man, for that whole year. And even though, man, they sin were like scarlet, God keep on washing them white as snow. Why? Because he already know the plan that he have for our life. Your Father love you so much, you don't have a clue, man. But boy, when you find out, man, but the kingdom ministry of God to your life. What's the kingdom ministry of God to your life? God's love for you. And man, God's, man, you know, desire for you and God's original plan for you and how God lost you. How God came down to this earth himself, man, looking for you and found us, man, dead and trespassing in sin. And man, raised us up from the dead. What you saying, Arthur, man? I'm saying that Jesus Christ came over 2,000 years ago, man, and took back everything that the devil stole from us. What he stole from us? Your kingship, your sovereignty, your true identity, who you really are. We think we just Christian. We go around and say, I'm a pastor this, I'm brother this, I'm so-and-so, I'm an apostle, I'm a bishop, everything. Yeah, man, you got to get past all of that, man, and get back into who you really are. Who you are, man, I told you when God wanted you, he spoke to himself. You an offspring of God. You a child of the Most High God. One day ain't going to be no more. Listen, in that garden, there wasn't no bishop and pastors and all that, man, and choir. It wasn't all of that. And God said it was good. But it was God and his children, his offsprings. And boy, they were ruling and reigning in life. And they were in unbroken fellowship. Jesus Christ came, man, to restore that back. See, we just know what Jesus Christ did. That's why I say we know the gospel of Jesus. What's the gospel of Jesus? The gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus. What's the good news about Jesus? How Jesus redeemed our life from destruction, from that destruction. That's why we know all about Calvary and everything else. That's elementary, man. You say by time now we ought to be teaching. We still need somebody to teach us. We need to graduate and go past that. We ought to be so far past Calvary now that we're reigning in life. Calvary is just a means to an end. That's him coming and cleansing you up so that you could come behind the veil. Not like the children of Israel did. They couldn't go back there. Why? Because their sin separated them from God. You can go all the way back there now. Why? Because your sin's been washed white as snow. So you can go all the way back now into the presence of the Lord, man, and see, man, past what he said through the prophets, and see what he said, man, himself was not in, just in the beginning, but from the beginning. What was his original plan and purpose for your life? Because his plan and purpose is what's going to stand. And boy, when you find out that, hallelujah. I promise you, man, you listen. You have to, you come running to the kingdom. Them people, man, follow Jesus, man. Listen, let me tell you something. Jesus was going around inviting people, and man, trying to have no hard time, man, getting people, man, to follow him. No, know what he did? He just went about, man, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom. What's the good news about the kingdom? What kingdom you talking about? The kingdom I've been telling you about, man, just a little bit about that kingdom that God set up, man, in the beginning, man, with his family and Adam and Eve. That's the whole human race. He lost that. And in losing that, man, he sent his son to get that back. The Bible says, boy, he so loved the world. What world? His arrangement, his pattern of operation, that he sent his son, man, to get that back. And not only get that back, man, that's the redemptive message of Jesus, like I said. That's all the thing that Jesus did, how he died for our sin and how he's supposed to live. That's the redemptive message of Jesus. But listen, if you don't careful, you get preoccupied with that, and that's all you know. That the redemptive message of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is a means to an end. I told you the devil's most successful tactic to preoccupy us with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. The reason for your redemption was so that you could have restored back to you everything that you lost. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He restored everything, man, that I lost in Adam. What I lost in Adam, I lost my sovereignty. I lost my dominion. I lost my kingship. I lost my ability to reign in life. What I got back in Jesus, I got that back in Jesus. That's what he came. That's what he came to bring back to you. He didn't come in to bring us to heaven. He came to bring heaven back to you. Because in the Garden of Eden, man, it was heaven on earth. That's why God planted that Garden of Eden. Know what that was? That little Garden of Eden that he placed mankind in back in Genesis. That was a little carbon copy of heaven. That was a piece of heaven on earth. And boy, I'm talking about, and our assignment was to make the whole earth just like that. An environment, an atmosphere that's created by the literal presence of the Lord. Glory be to God. Jesus Christ came in and come back to restore back to you and I everything that we lost. That's the kingdom ministry of God to your life. Just the introductory of it. You got to first know first. That what? That's why when Jesus begun his teaching, when he came and to redeem our life from destruction, what he preached was not the redemptive word. He didn't preach about the average. He didn't know nothing about the average. A tremendous blessing to your life. What he was preaching, man, what he was proclaiming, man, to the people was this here. This was his. After he had put the devil on his feet, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. From that time forward, he began to preach and say what? Repent. In other words, change your way of thinking and your way of doing things and your way of seeing things and your way.
Our phone number is 713-870-3773.
Our service night, praying for rain. The way back into the Garden of Eden.
Sunday praise and worship.
Back to you and I, so that you and I can come in. Back into the Garden of Eden.
Please feel free to stop by.
The kingdom of heaven on earth and start eating off all them trees and there. And thereby doing that, begin to reestablish and expand the kingdom, man, of God and the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Listen, you ain't heard nothing yet. Boy, God got good news for you. We're going to preach to you the gospel of the kingdom, boy. And as you stay tuned, man, to this radio broadcast, I promise you, boy, God going to feed you the sincere milk of the word. Then it's going to be parable. Then it's going to be stronger food. And, man, in doing so, the process is to, man, listen, to bring out the king and the queen in you. What's that? That's a ruler. That's in you. We love you, man. We ask you to stay tuned, man, to this broadcast. We promise you that we're going to be a tremendous blessing to you and your family. This is the word of life that we bring to you. Not a religion, not a sermon, simply more the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you. We love you. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life.